Hello, dear friend. Welcome back to another episode of the Curious Neuron Podcast. My name is Cindy Hovington and I am your host. I am a mom of three and I am the founder of Curious Neuron, which is an online resource that offers you science-backed information about emotional health for both you and your child. I am also the co-founder of WonderGrade, which is an app that helps children learn how to regulate their emotions between the ages of 3 and 8. I'm starting to build up some friends of Curious Neuron that are here to help me and sponsor parts of what I'm doing. And one of the first companies that have stepped up that I'm so happy about is PocPoc. PocPoc is an app, the first app that my kids ever played. It is a game that is calm and open-ended and soothing without these really annoying sounds. And every single episode, if you want to try out the app, and I'll be adding other companies to that at the bottom of the show notes, you can click there. It says sponsorships or partners and you get discounts, including the app for PocPoc. If you purchase the 1 year subscription, you will get 50% off because you are a friend of Curious Neuron. So thank you to PocPoc. All right, today we are talking about rage. Actually, in the title, I put two topics, euphoria and rage, just to show the contrast and to make it interesting. The reason why is because I do want to share something that happened with my kids this weekend, and I think we can all learn from that moment. Also, I want to talk about rage because recently I spoke on the news, Global Montreal, here with Laura Casella, and it's a topic that I posted about last week. And every time I post about mom rage or rage, there's always somebody that reaches out to me that says that they felt seen and less, you know, crazy, and that their partners are also saying that all this rage is because they're crazy. And I personally don't like using that word. It doesn't make us crazy. It's similarly, you know, similar to a tantrum where I talk about there's some sort of underlying need or there's something being communicated by the externalization of an emotion. It's the same with rage. Rage and anger is the emotion we're feeling inside, but it's being externalized with these aggressive and these words and these actions that are literally out of our control. So I want to talk about that today, so stay tuned. But first, I want to thank the Tannenbaum Open Science Institute for supporting the Curious Neuron podcast. It means so much to me that we have a McGill, you know, university-based program that sponsors and supports what we're doing. Everything I do is backed by science. And this is important to me, and I want to continue doing this. So it's nice to have you by my side. So thank you. I also want to thank you, the listener. I've been getting lots of emails from parents who want that meltdown PDF for free, and you can do so. You get it for free if you rate and review the podcast. So make sure you are subscribed to the Curious Neuron podcast, and that you can rate it, I think, on Spotify, and also rate and leave a review on Apple. And if you do that, send me an email at info@curiousneuron.com, where you will just let me know that you rated it. You can send me a screenshot or give me your screen name so I can double check, and I will send you the free PDF as a thank you. It's available on Curious Neuron Academy, by the way, if you don't feel like leaving a review, but you do want the PDF. It's $10, and there are courses and other PDFs as well, including Music and the Brain, and our popular courses. The link between emotions and behavior is up on Curious Neuron Academy. All this is accessible at curiousneuron.com. You can also access our blog posts on curiousneuron.com. And the most recent one that's been getting lots of attention is the one where I interviewed a teenager. I summarized some research around what teenagers need in terms of their mental health. And then I asked the specific teenager to ask her friends about what sort of relationship they want with their parents. It is one of my favorite articles, and it's been getting a lot of feedback. I've been getting some really beautiful emails, including from companies that are saying, hey, we'd like to see more of this, and this is really helpful for schools as well. We want insight into what teenagers are thinking. So if you enjoyed this blog post, make sure you leave a comment on the website, let us know, or send me an email again. Lastly, if you're not doing so yet, you can follow us at curious_neuron. All right, that's it. Let's move on to today's topics. So first, so today is Sunday. I'm recording this the day before I release it. And yesterday, if you've been following me for a while, you know that I work on weekends and weeknights so that I could homeschool my kids during the day. So it's a balance that I have that works for me, but it's not always easy. And I know that I often It's hard because my kids are usually alone with myself or my partner. And they often want to do some activities with us sometimes, and we have Sunday to do that. Today, however, I'm working because yesterday I did not work. And it was the first time in, I don't know, I can't remember really, that's how long it's been, where so my partner had to leave, he had to do something yesterday. So I was alone with the kids, and I woke up and I came down. I woke up, you know, I always try to wake up a little bit earlier before the kids. And I've been following just recently a program called the 5 a.m. Club. I don't necessarily get up at 5 a.m. yet because I'm trying to go to bed a bit earlier in order to do that. But I do wake up a little bit earlier and try to move and try to journal. So I think the order that they have is like move, then you reflect, so some sort of journaling, and then you grow. So what are you doing to learn? And you try to make it not screen-based. So you try to read some books or you journal with pen and paper, the old school way. And I'm really enjoying this. So journaling is something I started at the beginning of this year, writing gratitude. But now I'm going a little bit deeper too, and just thinking of my intentions of the day and what brings me joy or what's missing. What are some like negative emotions I've been feeling and why? So what I wrote yesterday morning when I woke up was, you know, I'm going to have the day with the kids. And I really didn't want to fall into the regular Saturday routine of being home and just like chilling a bit and not really having a plan. I wanted something out of the box, but I didn't have a car. We have one car. So I was, you know, at home with the kids. So what I decided to do is as soon as they woke up, I told them that we were going to have breakfast at Tim Hortons. So if you're not Canadian, it's like a Dunkin' Donuts. And we, you know, they were so excited when I told them, and I intentionally put this into my day where I stepped out of the box a little bit. Because it's really easy for me to say like, oh, you know, there's some, I don't know, backyard work to do, or I don't feel like walking. You know, it's just a 15-minute walk, let's say. It's not that bad. But with three kids and their bikes, I don't know. I always come up with reasons. I always stop myself from doing these little things. And I want to share that because maybe there's somebody out there who does the same thing, right? Like kids say, hey, can we do this? And we're like, oh, no, I don't feel like it. Or why, you know, it's going to be so much trouble for me to go through it. But I just kind of, I had the idea and I was like, let's just do this. I want to do this. I want to have something different. And something exciting. And here's why I'm sharing this with you. It wasn't about going out for breakfast. It was just the change of routine. Basically, the kids got up, they got dressed right away. We went outside. It was early morning, like 8:15, and they were on their bikes, and we were, I don't know, just a couple meters away from the home, really. We weren't that far. And I felt this sense of euphoria, this pure joy in my body and in my mind. And I just like had a moment where I stepped away from myself and the kids were bike riding in front of me. I was walking. The weather was beautiful. It's sunny. It's warm. And as we walked away from the house, I just felt or asked myself, like, why don't I do this more often? Why is this the first time that I take my kids out for a walk early morning to go grab some milk and a donut for absolutely no reason? There's nothing that we're celebrating. We're just doing it. And that moment just felt so good to disconnect from that routine and just be present with my kids. I didn't think about work all day. I didn't think about like deadlines or meetings that I had this week. I was just there, present, did not use my phone, no social media. The post was scheduled the morning before, the day before. I had nothing on my mind, and it felt so damn good to be with my kids and not think about anything. And that is what I journaled about this morning to remind myself that I need to do this in little ways as much as I can, because these are the moments that mark us, not just for them in that moment, but it was for me to step out of the, you know, daily habits and schedules that we have. And when I think back, there have been some of these moments, and it's always when I step back. For example, when my kids were very young and I still had my youngest in a high chair, there were two or three times where I took dinner and put out like a picnic blanket in the middle of the living room, and we had a picnic dinner in the house, but on the floor. And the kids were so happy. And I remember that same euphoric feeling in that moment of like, wow, I'm so happy right now. And things are much simpler than when I'm sitting at the table and telling the younger two, like, sit down and stop moving. We were sitting on the floor and having the best time ever. You know, it's those little moments. So what I encourage you to try this week is really something that's out of the box for you. But also remember that it doesn't have to be a big gesture. It doesn't have to be something expensive. It doesn't have to be something so complicated. It could be something as simple as bringing dinner or breakfast or lunch to the floor and having a picnic. It could be something as simple as like camping inside your house. I've heard of families that do this. And sleeping in the living room in sleeping bags or on a blanket or something that just changes the routine and reminds you to just be present with your child and turn the phone off or put it somewhere else, because it just helps you be present in that moment. All right, let's move on to mom rage. So again, like I said at the beginning, I was interviewed this week, and it was because of the posts also that I had last week. So I've been talking a lot about mom rage. I'm saying mom rage now, but I won't bring up mom rage again. Because I don't like the term mom rage. I believe that it's one of those other like mom brain and mom guilt and whatever it is that kind of brings all these negative kind of feelings towards moms. And rage is a human thing. It's an emotion. So it's not a mom thing. However, there are moments that we experience and needs that we have that can lead to more rage. And that's what I want to highlight in today's episode. So if you are someone that has been experiencing a lot of rage, and by rage, what I mean is, you know, a moment where you are no longer in control of yourself anymore and your actions and your thoughts and your, and what you say. And it's very angry. It's not controlled. It's aggressive. The words you say can be like things that you normally don't say. If you are experiencing this rage, even if you just had a child, I really want you to become curious about it today and compassionate about it today. If you are listening and you have a partner that has been exhibiting and showing this rage, I want you to be curious about it and compassionate about it today, because rage is a way for us to express that there is some sort of underlying need. Something is not going right. Because when you can't control your anger, there's usually something bigger. And what I mean by that, it could be mental health. If you're experiencing rage in the postpartum, time, which is anywhere between the time your child is born to 2 years and ongoing, and you've never experienced that before, there can be some sort of underlying depression or anxiety. So you have to get curious about where it's coming from. If there is no underlying depression or anxiety and you're certain of it, then what else is going on? What sort of unmet need do you have, in terms of emotional needs? Do you need to work on emotion regulation skills? What does your environment look like? If there is a lot of stress and you feel, constantly like out of control, what is there in your environment that you can change? So I'm reading this book called Emotional Intelligence, Why It Can Matter More Than IQ. And this is by the author Daniel Goleman. And I really recommend it if you're interested in emotions and want to learn some more. He highlights and mentions all the sources and the research. It's usually older research, but there's still significant studies that bring a lot of information. Something he talks about a little bit is rage and the anatomy of rage and the science behind it. And I think it's important for us to realize that I posted a quote today on Instagram, or actually you're listening to this on Monday. So yesterday, I posted a quote on Instagram from this book, and basically the brain is responding or it's having these moments of rage when it feels endangered. But we naturally think of endangered and going into fight or flight when you would see a bear, right? But that's not the physical endangerment is not the only thing that will trigger rage in us. There's also these sort of, actually more often than not, symbolic threats to us, such as, symbolic threats to our self-esteem or dignity, or being treated unjustly or rudely, being insulted or demeaned. All of these will trigger rage in humans, in us, whether you are a mom or a dad. These are things that we need to be aware of. So if you are feeling crazy, and if somebody is calling you crazy, or if you think someone is crazy because they're experiencing rage, I really want you to think of those moments when that person or yourself are experiencing rage. Do you feel any threats to your self-esteem and dignity? Are you being treated unjustly or rudely, or being insulted or demeaned? I'm repeating these over again because of how important they are. Because it's easy for us to think something is wrong with us, but when we get curious and step back and also feel compassionate, we start to realize that there might be something more to it and that we need to communicate our needs and our boundaries a little bit better. Now, there are moments also, and that's why I brought up emotion regulation skills. If you think about yourself being in the car and somebody cuts you off, I've been in cars where I've seen two different, very different reactions to somebody being cut off in their car. There could be the one person that says, "What a jerk," and just like lets it go. And then there's the other person who says, "What an idiot, how dare you?" and then tries to cut them off. And it's like they're offline. Their brain is no longer thinking. So first of all, that's exactly what's happening in the brain. The brain is, so I've spoken about this in kids, but same thing applies with us. When we have an intense emotion like rage, we are disconnecting ourselves from the thinking part of our brain. So we are experiencing these really big emotions, just like tantrums, and we are no longer thinking of how to process this information and how to react appropriately in terms of how we're externalizing this emotion. So that is why sometimes when somebody's experiencing this road rage, you're trying to get through to them, but they're offline. Daniel Goleman in his book calls it an emotional hijacking. They're no longer thinking and they're no longer hearing you. They're just in their zone of rage. And that could be really dangerous. So we need to find ways to work on this. Specifically in that person, if you experience, you know, road rage that way, your thoughts make a big difference in how you will interpret something and how you will respond emotionally to something. So, you know, if somebody cuts you off and you think that they're trying to piss you off or they did it on purpose, that can lead to rage because, again, you're feeling threatened or you just feel like something happened that was rude and unjustly, right? Going back to that definition of what can trigger the rage. But if you view it as maybe they didn't see you, maybe they just did it and didn't realize, or maybe they're having a bad day and they're not thinking, then all of a sudden your perspective on this, like this emotional event, is very different. So if we can apply that in every day in terms of how we're perceiving things and how we interpret things, that can also make a difference. That's very different if in your home you are constantly being treated in a way that is not with dignity, that is rude, that is unjustly, and that's impacting your self-esteem. That is very different. You don't have to change how you're perceiving those actions to allow yourself to be okay with it. You have to set a boundary. It's very different. But in situations when you don't have control and you're out in public and somebody cuts you off in the car, you do have control. And I try to explain this to my kids as well, where I tell them that they're in control of their actions and their behaviors, right? In the sense that if you say something to somebody, you have to kind of fix it. You said it, and now you're in control of how you're going to fix that. So the same thing applies for adults, obviously, a lot more. And that's why I think it's important that we talk about rage a lot more instead of just letting it go. It's not something that we should just kind of ignore and say, well, that person's, you know, they're like that. No, I think that it's something that falls into our emotional intelligence and emotion regulation skills and emotional well-being. We have to take care of ourselves. So if you are experiencing rage a lot, if you're having like less than 5 a year, it's very different. But if you're experiencing this on a weekly or a daily basis, or you know somebody who's experiencing this, you know, on a weekly or daily basis, I truly encourage you to follow these 3 steps this week to start doing this. So first, get curious. It's going to take some time to figure out like what's going on, whether or not, or if you have some sort of underlying mental health issue. But just take notes down in terms of when it's happening and what happened before. Did somebody say something to you? And get curious as to like if it's linking this to any thoughts or triggers from your past. Get curious about that. Just start with that this week. The next step is really to make a list of things that you need help with. Whether you feel overwhelmed in the home and you think that that's leading to your rage, or you think you need help setting boundaries, or you think you need some help communicating that you need some support within the home, or some emotional support, or you need to work on your self-care and take moments for yourself that bring you joy, and you don't know how to do that, try to communicate that with somebody, whether it's your partner or a friend or a family member, and see what you are in control of and what you are not in control of. What can you take control of? Obviously, there will always be things that we are not in control of, but is there something within your environment that you can take control of that will make things a little bit easier for you? Again, it could be from a boundary or asking for help within the home as well. Lastly, you really want to take action and start the work. Baby steps, obviously, but you know, what sort of boundaries can you start setting? And by the way that I started working on boundaries for myself, I mentioned this a couple of years ago, was by writing things down. So when there was a specific person that would call me, I had a little script in front of me so that it made it easier for me to say certain things to them if something was brought up, because I really did struggle with setting boundaries. But having a few notes in front of me reminded me that when certain things were said, I can say that and I was in control of that moment. So you need to find ways that will help you feel more in control. If you need help with something around the house, or if you need somebody to come in and step in for an hour so that you can go for a walk, whatever you need, but you need to think of what your needs are and what you have control of and what you don't have control of. And the self-compassion part is the most important part. You matter and you are worth of this kind of support and self-care. So please remember that if you are struggling with your rage or mental health and somebody makes you feel like you are not worthy to work on this or to have a better life and work on this very difficult part of your life, your mental health, and you're struggling, it's not true. You are worthy and that you deserve to work on this and to be the person that you want to be, whatever that is. Take the time for yourself because you matter. I hope this episode was helpful, and I will see you next week. Next week, I have two researchers, a researcher and a doctor that's coming on, and we're going to talk about attachment and the postpartum period and what that looks like. So join me next week. I hope you all have a wonderful and beautiful week. Bye.